Now, as we turn our attention to Matthew, please pray with me. Almighty God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, challenge our hearts and our minds. Bring transformation in our lives and change us to be your people. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Again, it's on page 807 if you want to follow along. And paying attention will be our topic. You got that? I don't have to tell you that this is an age of distraction. We're distracted by so many things, and it's really hard to give anything undivided attention, especially due to technology. Just yesterday, as I was watching a football game, I was playing a dice game at the same time with my youngest daughter, and she was trying to explain to me some new rules. We were going to play the game a little differently, and she said, "Dad, look at me and listen to me." Well, I was hearing her, but I was watching the game. And I said, "I am," and she said, "You are not. You're watching the game. Listen to me." It's really hard to pay attention. Even when you're trying, it's a challenge to pay attention. This is a story from when our children were younger, but my wife was at home with the children, and we have four, and Abby decided to go upstairs. She was little, and so she went upstairs, as she would normally do, to her room to play. Well, shortly after that, Kim noticed that it was a little quiet, so she went upstairs and couldn't find her. Now, she was paying attention, but she had no idea where Abby went, so she yelled, and she went out on the front porch, and there was a whole lot of frantic activity until it occurred to her to maybe look under her brother's bed, where there was Abby sleeping very peacefully. She had decided it'd be good to hide under here, and maybe I'll take a nap. So she was paying attention, but as anyone who's had little children knows, you can pay attention and you can still miss a lot. You can be watching everything and they'll still get into something. Paying attention is our theme. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, Friday marked the Christian celebration of Epiphany, the Christian holiday, the feast that celebrates the three kings or the three wise men and their visit to Mary, Joseph, and Christ the Lord, born in flesh, baby Jesus. Epiphany, the word, originates from a Greek word that literally means to appear. Now, this from one of my favorite sources of knowledge, Wikipedia. I think we're going to have a slide here. In classical Greek, Epiphany was used of the appearance of dawn, of an enemy in war, but especially of a manifestation of a god or deity to a worshiper. So Epiphany celebrates the manifestation of God the Son, Jesus Christ, to the three Eastern kings. And the Epiphany, as we will discuss it this morning, is entirely dependent and grounded upon paying attention. But before we get to what the three kings did, I first want to discuss who they are. So looking at Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." From the east. Now, that seems pretty straightforward, east and west. But depending on where you lived, depending on cultural norms, east and west can mean many things. Think about here in Jacksonville. I've lived here for 8 years, and I still don't know what the west side is. People will tell me they're from the west side. I think an area, but this is the broad swath of, I don't know where they're from. Because it seems it incorporates north, east or northwest and west and south. It's this whole big area. Depending on where you're from, the west side can mean something else. That's the same in first century Jerusalem in that area. Magi from the east. Now, we don't know from the biblical text what their exact country of origin is. Many surmise they were from Persia, which was in the east. But that would be if you have a first century Roman perspective. They would be from Persia, and they would most likely be of Asian descent. But if you had a first century Jewish perspective, they could only have come from Arabia, and they therefore would have been Gentile and pagan and Arabic. For Jews living in the Holy Land in the first century, East for them would simply mean anything to the other side of the Jordan River, much like our west side. From the east was anything that came across the Jordan, which would have led to the Jordanian deserts, which connect to Arabia. Now we see this fact further confirmed when you consider their gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Biblical and Middle Eastern scholar Ken Bailey writes this: rich people usually possess gold, and gold was mined in Arabia, so that's not an identifier. But frankincense and myrrh are harvested from trees that only grow in southern Arabia. Wealthy dwellers of those desert regions would naturally have had gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the early church was aware of this. That would have been common knowledge. So here we have magi, rich wise men from Arabia that are traveling to the east. And we read in verse 2, they're saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And here is where we encounter the key aspect of this story: paying attention. The wise men saw the star when it rose. They didn't notice it in the sky one day. Wow, how long's that been there? They were paying attention. They were watching. And then, we understand through this text, they discerned or determined that the appearance of that star was announcing the arrival of the king of the Jews. Because they said, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star." Now we learn a little more about these wise men from the report of a 1920s British scholar. His name was E.F.F. Bishop. And in the 1920s, he visited a Bedouin tribe in Jordan. Now, this Muslim tribe bore the Arabic name Al-Kokabani, which means literally "those who study the planets." And when he asked the tribal elders, what's your name all about? Why do you have this name? This is how they replied. They replied that it was because their ancestors followed the planets and traveled west to Palestine to show honor to the great prophet Jesus when he was born. So here we have ancestors of these pagan kings and scholars whose tradition was to pay attention, to follow the planets and the stars. They were spiritual, and they were spiritually paying attention, looking for signs in the heavens, looking for spiritual communication from God. Here we sense that they're open to God's voice and signs. And their attentiveness, their response to the sign that God gave them in that star, ultimately enable them to fulfill the prophecy that we read this morning from Isaiah chapter 60, where it began this way: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." These three kings are that you. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And he continues, Isaiah continues this prophecy: "The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news. the praises of the Lord. Now, each of these regions noted in this prophecy are located in Arabia, some in the south and some in the north, which further confirms the origin of these three kings who represented the nations who were paying attention, who saw God's sign of light in the heavens and then responded by traveling to visit to him. Three Gentile pagan wise men paying attention. And we read at the end of this verse, what did they bring? They brought good news, the praises of the Lord, from Gentile pagan wise men who were paying attention. Now, this story, while celebrating those who were paying attention, it also sheds light on those who were not paying attention. Because we know at the time of Jesus' birth in the first century, the Jews were expectant for the arrival of the Messiah. They were looking for him. There were multiple folks who claimed to be the Messiah. They were, you would think, paying attention in this expectancy. And it's in that context that these wise men show up in Jerusalem. They were paying attention, you would think, but they still missed it. In Matthew's historical account, verses 3 and 4, we read this. When Herod the king heard this from the wise men, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. All Jerusalem was aware of this ruckus that these wise men have caused by asking these questions. Where is the King of the Jews born? But even with all of that information and fanfare, even when the chief priests and scribes were summoned to the palace, they were asked, they all still missed it because they weren't paying attention. They missed the light entirely. They didn't choose to go with the Magi to follow them. They didn't choose to investigate themselves. They missed it. Epiphany highlights the importance of paying attention. You and I here in the year 2017, we have the benefit of the entirety of Holy Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures as represented in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospels, and the letters to the early church. We have God's Word, living and active, in its entirety. We have theological study. We have historical record. And with all of that before us, let me ask you a question. Has God spoken in the past?
Yes.
Okay. Does God still speak now?
Yes.
So if you can affirm that God has granted epiphany, that God has appeared and spoken throughout history, and that he continues to speak by his Holy Spirit. As Henry Blackaby says it, God speaks through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. If you agree and can affirm that God has spoken, God continues to speak, then I ask you, are you paying attention? Are you, like the wise men, diligently paying attention, day by day leaning in, seeking to hear his voice and his guidance, seeking to understand what he has to say to you? Because if he still speaks, then that means he's still speaking. Are you paying attention? We have the story of non-Jewish, pagan, but spiritually open individuals hearing a message from Yahweh, the God of Israel, because they were paying attention. And then they arrived and they worshiped the newborn king, or whether he was one or two, the baby. We don't know exactly when they arrived. It wasn't right at the birth, but they arrived and they worshiped him. Reports are consistently being communicated now in modern times that in non-Christian regions of the world, in non-Jewish and non-Christian homes and lives. Jesus is appearing to people in visions and in dreams. We had some folks at the early service who were participating in the IWS classes this week, and they've come in from all around the world. And when I said that, they were all nodding based on their regions of the world. Jesus is appearing and speaking to the lost. God still speaks. So you have God's living word, living and active. God still speaks through his word. But do you hear him? Do you regularly sense his presence with you and hear his voice? Well, those questions lead us to the question, if you don't regularly hear him, then what's distracting you? What's keeping you from paying attention? In this new year, I want to challenge you to think about what the distractions may be in your life. The idols, the priorities, the drama, the situations which may distract you from paying attention and keep you from hearing God. I'm not just talking to those who would call themselves followers of Jesus here. If you're here and you're on that journey, you're investigating who Jesus is, or you're not sure who Jesus is, you're not off the hook, because we're hearing this morning that God speaks whether you know Jesus or not. He is speaking and he speaks. You also have to understand, and I know if you're a follower of Jesus, you know this. There is an enemy, a spiritual enemy, who doesn't want you to hear God. He wants to cup your ears. I can't hear my own voice when I do that. He wants to keep you from hearing. He wants to keep you distracted and obsessed and not listening. In my own life, in this season, I know that regret and anxiety and insecurity are all working to fill my head and my heart with noise. My head is loud most of the time. So I turn to my usual coping mechanisms of exercise, of busyness, of accomplishing tasks, seeking to deal with the noise, to maybe quiet it, to be distracted from it. That's all I'm really able to accomplish, because it doesn't last. I know my own solutions never satisfy or last, that they all fall flat, but it's still the first place that I turn. It's always a struggle to avoid my own efforts to deal with the noise in my head, whatever it is distracting me, and to turn and be quiet before the Lord. It's hard work to fight through the noise, to be quiet before God, my Savior. But you know, when I do, when I am able to be quiet, when I begin to sense his presence and his closeness again, when I'm able to truly feel him with me, it always gives me peace and hope that I can't get in my own efforts. He gives me peace and hope that he's sitting there with me in the boat, no matter how big the waves are, no matter how awful the situation might be, that he's there. But I don't get there until I'm able to be quiet to allow the distractions, him to remove them and to listen. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that doesn't work, or how do I do that, or I don't have time for quiet, all of those questions. For me right now in this season, what God's led me to do is simply, instead of just reading God's word in the morning, I'm seeking to spend 5 minutes at various times of the day. I can't tell you when it's going to be, but I'll stop and on my phone, I'll read a psalm or a New Testament, or I'll read something and just be quiet with it. And I'm noticing that those brief stopping times with the Lord is just enough to quiet and to recenter me into that peace that he alone can give me. Amen. That's what's working for me. I don't know what will work for you, but if you're hungry for God's presence, if you're hungry to hear his voice again, he will guide you. try what I'm trying, but he'll guide you. We as God's people need to regularly sense his presence. You need to hear his guidance, his wisdom. You need to know his peace, because there will always be storms. There will always be drama and trauma and disaster and whatever. You need to actively contend with distraction and lean into and pay attention to your living God, who is Emmanuel, God with you, who still speaks. Only then will you live as his shining light as you depend on him. Now, knowing that life is so distracted and hectic, knowing that, I'm going to give each of you an opportunity right now to have a moment of quiet. We are going to take 1 minute together, because if God speaks and God still speaks, then guess what? He will speak. He is speaking right now by his Holy Spirit, and he will speak. So I invite you to, if you want to have a piece of paper out so you can write down what you may hear, you can kneel or you can sit. I will keep track of the time. It will only be 1 minute. I guarantee you it will feel a lot longer. But be quiet. If you're having trouble with the noise in your head, a simple prayer like, "Come, Lord Jesus," just repeated, can help. But let's right now sit in quiet and seek to hear what God is speaking to you. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your epiphany, for appearing at just the right time in history to save us from our sins, to restore us into the presence of your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, to give us new life in your name and to bless us with the Comforter and Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Give us an awareness of the distractions which keep us from sensing your presence, from remembering your truth, and from hearing your voice. Strengthen us that day by day we might pay attention, we might seek you. We might pay attention to your living word, we might hear your voice, and we might live as lights shining brightly for you in the darkness of our culture. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, in our liturgical worship,